across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Kinky, kinky, kinks. 03444991000, dear listener. We're back inside the box. Oh, we're back inside the box, kicking off the kinks. The late night alternative with myself, Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
No, you're not. You're so much better than that. I heard some of your shows last week. When did you get so good, girlfriend? I did. I had a week off, to listener, to ruminate on my life, and I've decided my life sucks. But I didn't listen to much radio, but I heard some of you, Catherine.
Yeah.
And highlights for me were the return of Sean.
And his speedy departure.
The paedophile.
Oh.
Not Sean, this is a separate thing. The paedophile.
The paedophile conundrum.
And the guy that had worn fishnet stockings but then didn't want to talk.
Yeah, that was tense.
That was my highlight.
I was hoping you were listening to that bit because I was thinking, what do I do with this? I know what I do. I relax into it.
Silence. Silence. We're back, dear listener. We're back as a team, and God damn it! The message. When I was still working here before I took my week off. That's how you do the sentence. Before I took my week off, we still had Caroline Flack walking this fair earth, and I come back. We don't have Caroline Flack walking this fair earth anymore. I didn't know Caroline. I worked with her like maybe three or four times. I think, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 years ago, I went, before I was in the jungle, I went and did the ITV2 spin-off show when she hosted it. And she was delightful and was as a host, was very kind and was not at all selfish as some hosts can be. She was very generous. She realized the show was not about her, that we had flown out thousands of miles to be there. And she made sure that we got plenty of on-screen time. I was there on there with Gemma Collins, of all people. Is that her name?
I don't need the money, babe.
That's the one. I think that's the only contact I ever had with Caroline Flack. But I was so sad. And I know that everyone's talked about this, but actually, we should keep talking about it. I was so sad to hear that she had taken her life, and the way that she had taken her own life, and the fact that I have sympathy for anybody who is in that much pain that they can only see one option, and that option is to end your life. I've been very, very close to it. Obviously, I've not done it. I was going to say, obviously, I've not done it. Well, that's obvious. But I've been very, very close to it. And I've always just managed. I would say, off the top of my head, I would say four or five times, and I've been yay close to it, yay close. And somehow I've always managed to just knock myself back into the right track, okay, where I am now still alive, and I thought there was only one option, but I saw another option, and I went for that, and that second option meant that I was still alive. So seeing that she had taken her own life was just the saddest thing. She'd assaulted her boyfriend. That was what I got online. Oh yeah, but she'd assaulted her boyfriend. I'm sorry. Did the court case happen? Did it? And I missed it. No one knows. No one knows what happened. So don't give me that old crap. And do you know what? Even if she had assaulted her boyfriend, which I don't believe she actually had, but even if she had, no one deserves to go out like that. No one deserves to be in such a lonely, painful place that they deserve to go out like that. Who's to blame? She's to blame. Ultimately, she made that decision. Blame is the wrong word. But ultimately, that was her decision. And I really get very uncomfortable with this. Oh, well, it's his fault. Oh, it's her fault. It's Twitter's fault. She made the decision. She was unbalanced enough to make that decision. But I think we can all look at all of the factors of social media, of the press, of some of the two-faced shits that are coming out now saying how upset they are that she's gone, when we all know they were pushing things as far as they could. We got it wrong. We got it wrong as a society, as everything. We've got it wrong, man. The way we talk to people, the way we write stories about people. Yes, I think it was right that the case was reported on, but report on the fact. Report on the fact. Don't, I don't know, print pictures of a bloody bedroom. Don't do that. That's irrelevant. That doesn't help anybody. Leave that for the court. Leave that for the court. I don't quite know what I'm trying to say. The ultimate message I've been thinking about a lot is just be kinder. Not even be kind, because be kind kind of sets a limit on the kindness. Sets a limit. Just be kinder. Just be kinder. And I'm flawed. I've made mistakes, and I will continue to make mistakes. I don't think this is a perfect turnaround where suddenly I'm full of love and light and I'm nice to everybody. It's impossible to do that 24/7, 100% of the time, because we are humans. We are perfectly imperfect. We are flawed. And we are fallible. And some of you will know I'm going back and watching old episodes of a TV show I used to do called The 11 O'Clock Show. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we're about to pick on some very vulnerable young women on that. And I'm really dreading getting to the whole Daniela Westbrook stuff, because we were horrible to that young woman. And thank God that she didn't take her life after the absolute battering that we gave her on that show. But I can't go back and change what I did 20 years ago. But what I can do is I can try and make indirect amends by trying to be a better person. So here's what we won't be doing on this show, right? We won't be going in and violating safe spaces, right, on a show. We won't be throwing out terms that can be, that may seem flippant to some, but can actually hurt others, like snowflake and Ramona. We won't be throwing out terms like that. We certainly won't be inviting racist actors to come and sit in the studio and create more division and more hate. What we will try and do on this show is be kinder. Is be kinder. Now, that doesn't mean that you can come on and you can be really, really abusive to me, or you can come on and be really, really abusive to Catherine, or you don't come on, but you're really, really abusive to the people that answer the phone. It's Alex tonight. Good luck with that. But I know that a couple of people last week were really, really rude to the people that answer the phone. Why would you do that?
Also, they were being rude about something we hadn't said.
So, listen, you come on if you want to be rude, come on and be rude to me. I get paid, I don't know, 10 times, 20 times what the person who answers the phone gets. All right? Don't be rude to them. You want to be rude? Come and be rude to me. Or we could just be kinder. We could just be kinder. And I've been thinking for a long time, this is a losing battle. This is a losing battle. I hate this industry, the media, the way we speak to people, the way we write about people, the way we court anger. We try and scare you and we try and divide you. It's what a lot of these shows do, phone-in shows and TV shows. And I'm deliberately not going to mention people because that's kind of why they're doing it. So you say their name. You know who I'm talking about. You know the people to whom I refer. If I say their name, that gives them more power. Right? So what we're going to try and do on this show, and we've been doing it, right? We've been doing it, but maybe we could do a little bit more. I certainly don't feel any responsibility for what Caroline Flack felt compelled to do, okay? And I certainly don't feel, as some people have suggested, I certainly don't feel that I have blood on my hands. I do feel that I may have a few blood flecks on my shirt. I do feel that by the nature of this industry. So what can I do? Well, I could do a couple of things. One is I could quit this industry and go and broadcast at home on my Twitch channel and enjoy broadcasting to 136 people every single day. Or I could stay on talk radio and broadcast to half of that. That's a joke, kinda. I could do that. But then they win, don't they? They win. Or I could stay here for another year and broadcast, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights a week. That's up for discussion at the moment. 4 or 5 nights a week with my friend Catherine.
Hi.
That's her. And we can try and make the difference. Maybe the battle isn't quite over yet. Maybe we're just this little ember. We're just this little ember of hope of, I don't know, liberalism with a small L, maybe with just this tiny little ember of kindness. And if you keep blowing me, I'll get bigger. That sounded improper, didn't it? I didn't mean it like that. If Kath kneels down...
No.
If Alex knelt down and blew... No, you know what I'm trying to say, right? And what,
wants you to fan his little flame.
With 3 hours a week in an industry that is swamped with hate, that wants you to be scared, that wants you to be angry, that wants you to not trust the person who looks or smells or sounds different to you, right? Maybe we can affect a small change. I don't know. Boily?
Anger isn't the only reason people pick up the phone.
No.
I think some people have forgotten that.
And we've done it. Oh, God, we've both done it. Me and Kath, we've both done it. Let's get such and such and such and such on, because that'll be good. I like good arguments on the radio. I like a good argument on the radio. But actually, we don't have to listen to hatred and people who just want to sow division. We don't have to. We have a choice. I have a choice. Catherine has a choice. Catherine played it brilliantly last week. That call with Kai was magnificent. I won't go through it, because a lot of you will have heard it. That was magnificent. That was, A, the fact that he felt he could call our show, which is like has been 6 years in the making. And B, the way you handled it was... It was magnificent. It was absolutely magnificent, right? Anyone else would have gone... Anyone else would have been very brusque and very short and would have... I don't know what they would have done. We can listen to each other, right? We're all different. We've all got different things going on. Some of us like, you know, different things and all of that. But we can listen to each other. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm an old hippie, right? And what's so funny about peace, love and understanding? Be kinder. Be kinder. That's it. It's the thing. If you disagree with that, I mean, you can phone in and tell me why, but what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Here's my message to you, right? If you're at home listening to this or watching this, right? Very, very simple. Be kinder. Be kinder. Don't be kind, be kinder. When you say something, when you tweet something, when you just think, do I need to say this? Do I need to tell this actor or this TV host that what they're doing is rubbish and that they should never be allowed on the TV or the radio ever again? What good will that do? What good will it do belittling and mocking someone online, on Twitter, who's already said they've got issues with anxiety and depression and in the past have considered suicide? What good does that do? It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good. It gets some people angry and it gets some people shouting and it causes fear and it causes division. It doesn't help anybody. Hey, it might even make some people some money. It doesn't help anybody. Be kinder. And I know, right, I know that some people, if this clip goes out as a video, some people on Twitter will say some very, very rude things about me because I'm advocating being kinder. Here's my message to those people saying rude things about me in the mentions underneath this this tweet. I love you. I love you. I love you. I wish you nothing but happiness and success. And just think, before you hit send on a rude message to someone who is just saying be kinder, before you hit send, what kind of person does that make you? Does that make you happy? If it's making you happy, be mean to someone who's saying be kinder, where are you in your life? What would your kids think? What would your mum think? Be kinder. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So things that are working for me, if anybody pops up in my timeline that I don't like the look of, block. Mm-hmm. Not muting anymore. Used to mute because some people consider blocking a victory, a triumph. But I thought, I'm not playing that game. That's a game that they've invented where a blocking is a triumph, is a point. I'm not involved in that game. So I don't care if they're making up a score system of their own that doesn't... It's a block. And generally, I've had a few people recently, because each one of them will think I'm talking about them specifically. I'm not. A few people get in touch and go, "Ah, oh, man, that blocking was unfair." And I've unblocked a couple of these people, and nearly all of them, a couple of exceptions, nearly all of them have done something again.
Yeah. I think that some people have got a bit of a tin ear when it comes to other people's feelings and also sensing the mood of a room.
Yeah, yeah. So blocking and staying blocked is generally the thing. And if you're blocked, it doesn't mean you can't listen to the show. Doesn't mean I hate you. It means I probably have no feelings about you whatsoever. You're still welcome to listen to the show. All it means is you can't, through that account, read my tweets or send me a message. You could set up another Twitter account if you wanted. A lot of people have. I've got three Twitter accounts, one for this, one for a record label, one for the rabbit hole. All it means is I've blocked you on Twitter. That's it. I don't hate you. I don't love you. I'm not thinking about you. I'm not regretting it. I'm not... All it means. So that's been very helpful to me. The clear out, the purge. I've been talking about this for a long time. I've been saying for a long time, I'm yay close to getting rid of everything. And I did this week. I had two huge shelves full of CDs, DVDs, and some VHS videos and stuff. And I had a friend come and stay with me Wednesday. And sort of Thursday night... Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I was thinking, I wonder if I put those shelves in the den at the end of the garden. I call it a den, it's a shed with electricity. If I put that, it would free up all this room here and la, la, la. And my friend Simon came around and we talked about it and we put the sofa where the shelves were to see what it looked like. And I went, yeah, I think this works. And I naively thought we'd carry the shelves with all the CDs on. And he said, "Well, no, we can't do that, you idiot. It's too heavy. We've got to put the CDs in boxes." And I went, "But they're all in alphabetical order."
Oh.
He went, "Well, we'll keep them as best we can, but we can't lift them." And as I started putting the boxes, I went, "No. These shelves aren't going to go in the den. We're going to put them in the garage, and we're going to put these boxes full of CDs in the garage, and we're just going to see what that feels like." And I found that so upsetting. So upsetting because it symbolised a lot of stuff. When I slept with my wife, I lived in a room in a bedsit for 2 years, and I didn't have anything around me. I had a TV and I had some clothes, and that was it. I think a PlayStation. So after 2 years, when I finally got my own place that I was proud of, suddenly getting all of my stuff back that had been in my marital home or had been in the garage was. It was a real moment of, I've got my stuff back. I'm living again. I'm alive. But I've really started to realise that stuff doesn't mean anything. So the CDs went into the garage. The shelves went into the garage. The shelves were gone within 2 days because I put them on Facebook Marketplace and gave them away, right? I've got three big bookcases in the living room. And I said to my friend Simon, I think I can get rid of a third of those books and lose one of those shelves. There's a big one I didn't like. So I think I can get rid of a third of those books, and I was going to keep some, and I was going to give some to charity. And there were so many books. I mean, so many books that I've bought and never read. One book I've had, it's a great book. It looks like a great book, The Biography of London. But I bought that 16 years ago. I've never read it. Gone. And I went through it. I got rid of a third of those books. And the ones I was going to keep and put in the garage, I thought, no. Put them in the... took them to a charity shop. Got rid of that bookcase, put it in the garage, sold it for 60 quid on Facebook Marketplace. Thank you. Facebook Marketplace, by the way, is my new jam. So suddenly the living room's got more space. I tried to get rid of some records today. I got rid of a crate of LPs, vinyl. The rest, I was going to get rid of my stereo, my NAD. I was going to get rid of my NADs and my vinyl, and I couldn't quite do that. And this is all partly because I've got Spotify. I didn't know with Spotify, You can download stuff as well to your phone. £9.99 a month. In the past, would I spend more than that, more than that a month on music? Hell yes. So I've downloaded 5 albums today. So I'm having a clear out. It's the start. I'm going to go to my wardrobe on Wednesday.
This is an extension. I don't know if you're conscious of this.
Yeah.
Of you not buying stuff anymore.
This year, I've bought hardly any, a couple of times. I'm not buying stuff. I'm buying things. Big difference.
And here's the deal that I see what's going on there.
Yeah.
You got all your stuff back.
Yeah.
Great. This is my place. This is all my things. I don't have to justify it to anyone. This is my space. Then you looked around at this nest you've built of things.
Yeah.
And you realise you bought these things to fill a hole that they were never going to fill because it was in your soul.
She's got it.
And so now you're doing proper work on yourself and working out what that hole in your soul is.
Yeah.
Don't need that.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like that stuff I had with the clothes that don't fit me anymore. You look at things and you go, like the book you never read, it makes you feel guilty because you've not found the time for it. Or you bought it at a time when you thought that was going to help and it's not. And you realise you're surrounded by things you're never going to get around to and you never have and because you thought you needed it at the time. It starts to have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Get rid.
Yeah. Oh, God. The CDs are going to go. I want to go through them because I've got about a dozen signed, like Bare Naked Ladies and Spark CDs.
You'll get back down to the things rather than the stuff.
The rest are going
to
go. I'm going to go through my wardrobe. My wardrobe is full. It's a big wardrobe. There's a fifth. This the right hand side is the fifth that I always take clothes from. The other 4/5 I don't touch. I'm going to go through that. This is the freedom. Who knows? My 50s will probably be spent buying back everything I chucked away in my 40s. Who knows?
I think you and I both got this working class hangover thing of if it's not broken, I feel like it's a waste to get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, yes, definitely. I mentioned the 25th. Tomorrow, I hate talking about it, so I'm not going to talk about it long because I still find it too upsetting. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the car crash I was in. Horrific, horrific car crash where... I saw stuff that I never, I hoped I'd never see. And I still can't even talk about it. So that is the anniversary of that tomorrow. And that has been really playing on my mind that is coming up. And it makes me very, very uncomfortable. And someone's life my life was mentally changed. Someone's life was physically changed forever. You know, life-changing injuries, they call it. Just horrendous. So there's that. And this week I had off was to meditate on where I am and what I am. I'm very unhappy at the moment. Very unhappy at the moment. There's some great things in my life, but I'm very, very unhappy at the moment. Part of it is this job. And this is a thrill. Listen, I've got the best job in the world. I get that. But there's something that doesn't quite sit right. Some things I'm not prepared to say on air that don't sit right with me because that would probably get me fired immediately. But there's just something that's not... There's some other things that aren't sitting right. So I'm looking at a few options, including maybe going down to 4 nights a week and Kath doing the Friday. I don't know. I've sent this email to my bosses. Maybe doing 1 or 2 shows a week from my house, which we were doing, you wouldn't even notice, dear listener. You wouldn't even know. I'm trying to find things. Last week was booked to think about these things anyway. And then Caroline Flack, very sadly, took her own life. And it just all seemed to converge to a point of me thinking, shit. This mental health stuff is serious. It's serious. And I've always known it's serious. But to see, I think we're quite used to people talking about feeling suicidal. And then when you're confronted with the actual reality that, oh, God, some people really do this. Some people really do this. And I've been close. I've planned it. But I didn't go through with it. And then you are confronted with the reality that people face every single day. God, some people really do take that step into the unknown. And I keep thinking about Caroline a lot. And I also, you know, we've had people that have listened to this show that have taken that step too far. And God, I don't want to die. But I also don't want to carry on being as miserable as I am at the moment. So something's got to shift. If I want my kids to have a dad, if I want to carry on being financially responsible to my kids, if I want to experience waking up and having four cats jumping all over me, if I want those things, then something has to shift. And maybe that is me doing one show a week less and being financially, you know, having a lower income. Maybe it's my bosses will be kind enough to let me do one or two shows a week from home. I don't know. Something has to shift, right? Something has to shift. And by the way, I was able to have such an amazing conversation with my kids, who are 8 and 10, about suicide as a direct result of Caroline Flack. And also, someone I sort of know a little bit on Twitter was struggling, and some people said, oh, Ian, you know this person. Is there anything you can do? And it happened while I was with the kids and while I was with your kids. Mm-hmm. We'd just been to Gravity, the trampoline place in Milton Keynes. Great, by the way.
Excellent bouncing.
Oh, great bouncing. I should have worn a sports bra. I should have followed your lead and worn a sports bra as well.
Once bitten, twice shy.
But we were able to have, and your kids are a little bit older than mine, we were able to have an amazing conversation with the kids. Only short. About people taking their own lives. That's a heavy thing, because I wasn't sure how to bring it up with my kids. I wasn't sure. They knew about it because they know about Chris, who phoned us a year ago. So they knew about it. They know that I suffer from depression. They know that I'm a boozer and a junkie now. Wait, what? You've taken a drug? That was the question my eldest said when I told him I was a drug. Wait, what? You've taken a drug? But we were able to sit there, and if you've had this conversation with your kids, I'd love to know how you did it. We're in KFC, and had this amazing conversation about how sometimes the pain is so much that people think there is no other option, but there is always another option, and that talking is, all you've got to do is talk, and there is always a solution, and you can talk to me, or a friend, or a teacher, or you, or talking is the key. It's the key. And I thought, because I was nervous about having that conversation, and I didn't particularly want to have it with you and your kids there, but it just came up.
But you know that the way I talk to my daughters, and you know that it's an extension of the tell me the truth and we can sort it out conversation that I have all the time with my kids.
Yes.
And I've had since they were really little. That thing of, if you cover it up with a fib, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And I won't know until it becomes so big.
Yeah.
That we have to really unpick it. I might be cross if you tell me the truth, but the sooner you tell me, the sooner we can both get our minds on it and we'll sort it out. And I would much rather that you told me. You can tell me anything, right? Is what I told my kids. To the point where, I remember once my dad was looking after the little one and he smashed a cup of mine and he said to her, right, I think we should go to town and get your mum a new cup. And she went, Grandad, I think it's better if you just tell the truth.
Wonderful.
But it shows that it's, you know, you sow that seed with them.
But it's difficult, because we were having KFC, and then I just checked Twitter for the first time in a couple of hours, and a few people saying, Ian, this guy that I think you know is really struggling.
Mm.
And I panicked, and I didn't want to say anything in front of the kids, so I just said, oh, I've just got to go outside and make a phone call. And I went and phoned this guy up and left a message and sent him a couple of texts. But also being outside for that 2 minutes composed me enough to come back and explain exactly what had been going on.
Yeah.
And God, I love our kids. Aren't our kids great? Because they sat there, they asked a couple of questions, and they carried on eating their bucket.
Yeah, because we didn't terrify them. We didn't give them too much information.
No.
We gave age-appropriate information that could save their lives one
day. Exactly. Exactly, man.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
David, stay there. Let's go to Damien. Good evening, Damien.
Evening, you two. How are you?
Very well, Damien. What can we do for you on this holy Monday?
Oh, you're just hitting so many hot buttons tonight. It's amazing.
I love hot buttons. Almost as good as hot knives.
You sound great. You're full of positive energy, and you're answering all your own questions, you know, giving advice, and it reflects back to you as well. And
thank you, man.
We all have the answers inside us, don't we?
I think we do.
Yeah, when we look deep enough and take the time to listen. But you really are just... I overheard two people talking today, and they were actually talking about the show. I was just eavesdropping, and they were saying how you'd really help them.
Wow.
And I then went on to have a 7-hour conversation with a neighbour who is suffering really severe depression. I've had depression for years. I've, you know, suffered with anxiety, depression. And we had a 7-hour conversation, and we went really deep. And this clearing out, you know, sort of clearing things you don't need, strip everything back to the basics.
You, if you're talking about possessions, if it works for you, Dave has just tweeted saying he loves all of his stuff. And that works for him, and this worked for me for a long time.
Listen, this is going to sound filthy, but I mean it. Your hole is your business, right? What works for some people doesn't work for others. For some people, they throw themselves into children or animals or a hobby or whatever works. But you know if something is working or not. And, you know, for you, stuff doesn't work.
Stuff doesn't work. And I'm at a point in my life where I want to let go. And I'm finding it hard. I say, I cried. And I came down the next day, when I got put all those CDs in the garage, and I sat there and I cried thinking, shit, man.
Because it's not about the things, it's about the connotation.
Yeah, exactly. But if having stuff works, it's whatever works for you, isn't it, Damien?
Yeah, absolutely right. But things, feelings are more important than things, and we do attach, you know, thoughts to belongings.
Yep.
We get so wrapped up on keeping hold of things and people as well. We need to possess, but you find the more you let go, the better you feel.
Wish we could. We got some of the callers, Damien, that we get. There's this guy. Are you aware of David Babcock?
Yeah,
I wish we could let him go, because he keeps on phoning up and annoying us and really just bringing the vibe down.
Poor guy.
Oh, David, are you there?
You know I'm there. You press the button to put me on. Don't be sure. Be kinder.
Yeah, to people that deserve it. not to a-holes.
Oh, yes.
Damien, I've got to go. Is there anything else you want to say before I let you go, my friend?
I love you, man.
I love you too, Damien. David, I love you.
Right. Am I on after the news?
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
News.
Talk radio.
Has it stopped?
No, it's still going. It's still going.
The light, the light, the light. Is done?
Still going! Still going!
No, surely not, surely not.
Still
no,
going!
No.
Yeah?
I'm not.
Lou Reed is.
Good for him.
Lou Reed's got more stamina than you, and he was a heroin addict.
Right, I'm a heroin addict.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm so sorry, I didn't realise, David.
Don't matter, I thought you could tell. Right. Here we go, then.
Here we go, yes.
Ah, what a pleasant surprise to have someone who can actually present a bloody radio show on the airwaves.
Are you having a dig at Catherine?
Oh, is Kath there?
No, she's not, actually, which makes it double mean.
Oh.
So you're being rude about a mum behind her back...
I thought she'd be there. So.
And when I was watching my episode of Come Dine With Me the other day online and streaming it on my Twitch channel, you said that I was rude.
You are bloody rude.
Hang on a second. Be quiet. Catherine. Yeah. Kath, come in. No, David Babcock's on the line, and he's got a little review of your show's last week.
Oh, I don't care what you think.
No, well, he thinks it's very important, so I would suggest you sit down.
I've seen some of his streams.
Yeah, put your headphones on, and let's have a listen to what David has to say about his good friend Kathleen. David, just wait for the headphones to go on. They are on. Go on, away you go.
Gosh, that's unusually erudite for you.
I don't know what erudite means.
I know you don't.
You.
I know you don't.
Joke's on you, Kathleen.
Don't think it is.
Pterodactyl.
Isn't it a type of glue?
No, it's a dinosaur.
I think it's a glue.
A pterodactyl.
Nerodite.
Oh, no, I'm talking about... I've got big news.
Hey! David's coming out! He's coming out.
New Hoover?
He's got the world to know, never letting go. Ba-ba-da-ba. And if you don't come out now, you're homophobic.
No.
Homophobe.
I suspect.
You never get gay ghosts.
Right. You do. I am yay close to inventing a fully working time machine.
Okay.
I know, you told me last month.
Oh.
No, it wasn't last month.
I know, you told me next Tuesday.
No, I didn't. I told you the other day.
No. Okay, tell us. I'm trying to do a joke, but it doesn't work on you, as you're too thick. Tell us about this. Genuinely, I love time machines. Tell us about this time machine, then. What's going on?
Well, it's so bloody obvious. I can't believe nobody's done it before.
Okay, go on.
I can't. I'm not going to tell you how I do it.
It's not just winding a clock backwards, is it?
That's the principle. No. There's more to it than that, obviously.
Oh, don't. It's a shame.
Every spring, we'd go back in time, wouldn't we? Spring backwards, fall forwards.
Yeah, spring forward, fall back.
Right, whichever one.
Yeah.
The government have been backing me.
What is it? Is it? They still do Job Seekers Allowance?
No, it's Universal Credit now.
Okay.
But I'm not claiming it. I'm working in the chicken factory. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa!
No, 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 no,
no.
Whoa. Why that clock back quick? Yeah.
Quick, activate full drive. No, it didn't work. It's not finished yet.
No.
But is everything you wanted me to visit for you?
Hang on a minute. Just do me a favour. Just do me a favour, right? See if you can go back in time a bit. See if it'll work. Go on.
Well, it's not working.
Let me do my time machine. Hang on. Keep singing, David. He's still going.
Is it finished?
No, he's still going.
Is it finished?
No, he's still going.
Well, I've finished.
Well, he's still going.
Well, I don't care if Lou Reed's finished.
Lou Reed's got more stamina than you, and he's a drug addict. He's a heroin addict.
I'm a heroin addict.
Oh, you? I didn't realise.
That's not very nice. Hey.
Yes, sir.
May I say how lovely it is to have someone who can actually perform a radio show but on the other way?
Are you saying that... is that a critique of Catherine's show from last week?
It might be.
Yeah? And you're saying that behind her back, because she's not here, so you're talking about a mum behind her back... That is very, very poor. Catherine, come in. David Babcock has got a critique of your show from last week.
Oh, I don't care.
No, no, no. He thinks it's important that you know. Sit down.
I've heard his stream.
Put the headphones on. The headphones are on. David, tell her.
Gosh, that's unusually erudite for you.
And then what? What did you say?
Oh, dear.
Pterodactyl.
I think it's a type of glue, isn't it?
Pterodactyl?
No, erudite.
I said pterodactyl. Guess what? I've got big news.
What are we calling for, sir?
New Hoover?
No.
He's coming out as gay! He's coming out! He wants the world to know, never letting go. And if you don't come out, you're a homophobe.
I'm not a homophobe.
Are you coming out?
No.
Homophobe?
I knew it.
I'm getting close to inventing a time machine.
Time machine? Really? I know. You told me last Tuesday. No.
No, I told you.
You told me, you're telling me next Tuesday.
No, I told you the other day.
Oh, sorry, I'm just trying to do a joke and you're too sick to get it. Go on, how does it work? You don't just wind a clock back, do you?
It's based on that principle. But it's not exactly that. Every time we go in the spring, we'd all go back in time. Spring back, fall forward.
Spring forward, fall back. Okay, go on, tell me about it then.
Well, I've got the backing of the government.
All right, they still do Job Seekers Allowance, is it?
No, it's Universal Credit now.
Okay.
No way. I'm not claiming Universal Credit and working at the chicken factory. Like,
oh! Go back now!
Quick, activate time large.
Didn't work. No. Hang on, let me do my time machine. Sing it, David!
Are you finished?
No, he's still going.
Is he gone?
No, he's still going. Oh.
That didn't have to be fun.
There you go. He's still going.
Oh, I'm not finished.
He's still going! Lou Reed's got more stamina than you and he's a heroin addict!
I'm a heroin addict.
I didn't know, I'm sorry.
Well, I hide it well.
What have you got for us?
I forgot.
Oh, you want a critique? Oh, you want to critique definitely. Catherine's show, even though she's not here?
But can I say that it's such a lovely thing to listen to someone doing the show properly?
So let me get this right. You want to be rude about a mum, hard-working mum, behind her back?
Is she not there?
No, she's coming in now. Catherine, come in, come in, come in. It's important. David Babcock wants to critique your show.
Oh, I don't care what he has to say.
No, he thinks it's important. Go, sit down, put your headphones on.
This stream, I've got...
Put your headphones on. Go on then, David.
Gosh, that's unusually erudite for you.
Erudite what? What the hell's erudite? I don't know what that word means. Pterodactyl.
I think it's a type of glue.
Not pterodactyl.
No, erudite.
Right, anyway. Hey, cowboy, I've got some big news.
New Hoover?
He's coming out.
No, I'm not.
He wants the world to know, never letting go. And if you don't come out, that means you're a homophobe.
I'm not a homophobe.
Well, then you're coming out
then. I
knew
it.
No, I am yay close to inventing a time machine.
I know, you told me last month. I mean, you told me next Tuesday.
No, I told you the other day.
No, I was trying to do a joke. But you're too thick.
I'm not thick.
Okay, how are you getting funded for this?
I've got a little bit of help from the government.
The Job Seekers Allowance still going, is it?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Love has come to touch me. With someone who maybe cares.
This is the wrong song. What? We're in terrible trouble here. We're in terrible... Hang on a second. What is the song? You know that I'm... That, did that just happen? How did this song start? Let's go back to the beginning. Hang on a second. Anyway, we'll just bear with me. It was that song. Oh. We've missed the moment now. We've missed the moment now. I do apologise.
Okay, so just imagine the rest.
Just imagine we played the right Small Faces song all the way through to the end and everyone thoroughly enjoyed it. We didn't. That was unable to happen and that's my fault. So what are you going to do? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. 5 minutes in and it's already a disaster of a show. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
That's great news.
It is.
I can't get over this Duffy story.
Poor girl.
About 15 minutes ago, I was on Twitter, because I'm addicted, we're all addicted to Twitter. More on Twitter in a minute, guys. We're going to read out some tweets to the show. We're going to get meta and we're going to go into around in a circle as we're going to post a video of me reading the replies to the video I posted yesterday. Be kinder. But so and Duffy was trending. And I thought, Duffy. She was a joke in the sack lunch bunch that we watched a couple of weeks ago.
Because she was huge and then she was gone.
Vanished. One of those where are they now, one hit wonder type things.
And you thought it was because of that advert.
She rode a bike on an advert for Pepsi or Coke. I've really gone off Pepsi. I can taste the difference now.
I can taste the difference.
You know when Joe Brown used to do the Pepsi challenge?
Mm.
We, of course, all assumed it was Pepsi versus Coke. But it would have been Pepsi versus Panda Pops or own brand, Nissa Happy Shopper.
Yeah, some form of crap pop,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or gravy done in a soda stream. Is that you can actually make your own Coke. If all you've got is Bisto and lemonade, mix them together, that is Coke. That is not Coca-Cola, but that is a form of cola.
Is that what your mum told you?
So Joe Brown is a scumbag. Okay, be kinder, but also call out lies. Joe Brown is a liar when he did the Pepsi challenge. It wasn't, all right, you can get me on a technicality. He didn't actually say it was versus Coca-Cola, but it was implied. Someone who wasn't a liar was, come on down, the price is Catherine Boyle, come on down.
Crowther.
Crowther was not a liar. Crowther was a man of honour. Crowther was a man to be respected, revered, and in the case of his famous son-in-law, who was?
Ooh.
Who was Leslie Crowther's famous son-in-law?
I know this.
Yeah.
I know this.
And I'm going to try pronouncing his surname in a way I've never done, but I think is actually the correct way. Phil Lynott from Thin Lizzy.
Uh-huh.
I've always said Lynott, but more and more people these days are choosing, when it comes to the Thin Lizzy test, they're choosing Lynott over Lynott. So who am I if I'm not a follower of trends and fashions and the crowd? Crowther was a man to be feared and respected because when he did the Stork SB adverts, and I think remember Stork?
Does SB stand for substitute butter?
No, I think it stands for smelly bollocks.
My God.
I think it does.
No, I don't think it does.
I think it does, because if you put it on there and leave it for a few days, that's what you get. And that's how Crowther got the gig, because he was prepared to go the extra mile. Now, I think they did a Stork SB challenge where...
Well, you just explained.
I used to eat Stork SB straight from the source. Not from Crowther, from the tub. Crowther's tub, we used to call it. I would get a spoon. This is no word of a lie. This is the 70s, right? Mm. I would get a teaspoon, I'm not sick... And scoop out a spoonful.
It wasn't even salty, was it? Didn't taste of anything.
It was just tasted of fat and plastic.
Disgusting.
And I would eat spoonfuls of it. This was around the same period that I would eat sugar sandwiches.
Right, well, my nana, my great-grandma, if you had a sore throat, she would get a teaspoon, she'd drag it through the butter and then she'd stick it in the sugar bowl. And that was delicious.
Mm.
But also filthy.
Have you ever sucked your finger... Shoved it in a hole, pulled it out, and tasted what came out.
What kind of hole?
A sugar bowl hole. You used to be able
probably
to do that. If we'd been good, Mum would say, go and have a bit of the sugar bowl, and you're allowed to suck your finger,
no.
Put it in, just remembered this now, if it was like a treat, put it in, you'd have a whole glistening white, this is probably where I got addicted to cocaine, a whole glistening white finger, and you'd suck it off.
If I ever did it, it would have been a covert operation, certainly not one, not state-sponsored like yours.
The biggest trouble I ever got in at home was we used to have a sweet jar.
Yeah.
And it was those jars you'd get in the sweet shops, but it was, Mum would fill it with like Mars bars, Milky Ways, things like that. And after dinner, I want to say every day, but that doesn't feel right. But maybe it was, I don't know. We were allowed to go and get something from the sweet jar.
Wow.
Okay. But what I did once, and this is the worst trouble, even worse than when I bit the cat and threw him down the stairs. And then my mum bit me to show me what biting was like. I took out all the good sweets. It was in the wall unit, in the cupboard at the bottom of the wall unit. I took out all the good sweets and hid them right at the back of the wall unit. So my sister would go and get like a marathon.
Yeah.
I'd come out with a Twix. She'd go, I didn't see a Twix. I'd go, all right.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Next day, she comes back with a, what do they call it? Cabana. A Cabana bar?
Okay, well, that's an old-fashioned one
a
to
Cabana.
Me.
A Cabana. I think there was one called a Cabana. And I'd come back with a Mars bar. She'd go, I didn't see a Mars bar in there. And then
outrageous.
The next day, when she came out with Chrysler's and Texan bar or something, and I came out with like Milky Bar, she went, right, right. And she opened the cupboard and there were all these, the good sweets at the back. Mum! He's taken all the good sweets from the sweet jar and hidden them.
You were the little brother, right?
Yeah.
Right, so I was a big sister. My sister was just as sneaky as you. We were only allowed chocolate once a week on a Friday. But at Christmas, of course, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a box of chocolates each and they were roses, the old-fashioned roses, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I am not going to do what I always do, which is finish mine before she does and then she gets hers out once I've... Mine are a long gone memory.
It's your sister.
Yeah.
I hate her already.
And then she would like really slowly and not sharingly eat hers in front of me, right? Yeah. So I thought, I'm not doing that this time. So I, over days this is, watched her tucking into hers and I was thinking, this is going to be brilliant when I get mine open. My box of roses still had the sticker on the top, absolutely untouched, pristine.
Ooh.
So she finishes hers and I think, right, now is the time.
Yes.
Now is the time.
Oh, I love this revenge story.
I open mine up. I break the seal and I look down into, wow, it's very, there's quite a lot of space in the top.
What?
And also, all that's in there is coffee creams and orange creams.
What?
How is this possible? She'd gone up through the bottom and she'd been like nicking all my nice ones
I've
and she replaced
this about
them
your
all
sister.
With
the. You can go up through the bottom with her.
She'd gone up through the bottom, nicked all the good ones and replaced them with her shitty ones that she didn't want.
Excuse me, but your sister is a winker.
She's horrible, isn't she?
And what I'm hoping she got a sound thrashing from your parents.
My mum didn't believe me.
Oh.
I think she got extra points for sneakiness. Because she'd gone up through, like, the... You know, because the bottom, it was made out of cardboard. Obviously, you could pop the bottom in.
Right. I don't want to hear about your sexual proclivities. Right. This phone number, 3938, phone them up now. Phone them up now. I'm not going to be... We're doing Be Kinder, right? And 3938 has just texted in. Phone him up, Alex. I want this scumbag on the air. I want this scumbag on the air. Listen to this. Since when was a Twix better than a marathon, you weirdo? Since all the flipping time, you deep. I'll phone him. Alex is scared.
It is a thing.
I'll phone him. I'm going to phone him. Alex is scared.
I quite like a marathon.
Oh, God.
I find the Twix a bit dry.
938. I'll speak to this scumbag. Be kinder, my ass. I'm not having this.
We'll be kinder in 5 minutes.
I'm not having this. Come on, ring. Ring. Dial. Ring. Ring. Who is this? What's this guy's? What's his pervert's name?
Hello.
Who is this? Is this Steve?
Yeah.
This is Ian Lee, you're on the air. What the hell is wrong with you? Why are you trolling me? What do you mean marathons are better than Twixes? Are you insane?
I don't know anybody who prefers a Twix over a marathon.
Well, man. For a start, you get two Twixes, so already you're one up. But the marathon, chocolates and nuts do not go... I bet you listen to Mike Graham, don't you?
I love Mike Graham. Yes.
Oh, I knew it! This guy's a conspiracy theorist.
No, I'm not being funny. But there was an article in the Mail a couple of weeks ago that said the marathon was Britain's best-selling chocolate bar.
No, it's not! God, my whole world is destroyed!
I love a marathon.
Oh, Catherine!
I really do.
Oh, it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You've all turned! When was the last time you had... you can't have a marathon now. We have to call them Snickers. Hey, now we're out of Europe. Are we allowed to call them marathons and opal fruits again?
I think we should go back to that, yeah.
Oh, God, blue passports and marathons. When was the last time you had a marathon, Steve?
2 days ago, because I don't eat much chocolate. But if I did have some chocolate, I would probably have a marathon.
I bet you like Topic Definitely bars always. As well, don't you?
I do like Topics, yeah. When I was a kid, they were too expensive, so...
Steve, you're a good man. Thanks for answering the call.
Cheers.
You're also a pervert. Goodbye.
I had one last week. I had one last week, one of them double ones. They're super long ones.
Now... Remember when they used to do king-size Mars bars?
Yeah.
They don't do them now.
No, it's because there's too much Mars bar.
The nanny state.
Yeah.
The nanny state.
I remember when Mars milk came out and we all flipped our lids.
I was one of the first people in this country to have Mars milk. That's a true story.
Is it because you were closer to the factory?
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked in the Bee Jams that was half a mile away from the Mars factory and they came in. We got to try some of their products before they went on general release. This is true. So we had ice cream Mars bars before anybody else.
Oh, my God, they're so good.
Mm. But then they brought in this Mars milk, right? And we were the first place in the world to sell it.
Wow.
And I bought a pint of it for my lunch, and I downed it. I have never thrown up so hard in my... I downed a pint of Mars milk, not really knowing what to expect.
There's a lot of power in that.
I puked. Right. Now, Paul Yandel, be kinder. When I say be kinder, I don't mean be kinder tit. Kinder of a tit.
Okay.
I mean, be a nicer person. I'm all for being kinder in that, but what's with the way Ian says Milky Bar is Milky Bar?
Oh, yeah. Don't. That's been something he's been struggling with.
Paul says, I'm with Catherine. I prefer marathon. Oh, well, why don't you all... If you agree with Catherine so much, why don't you go marry a marathon? When they changed it to Snickers, of course, they killed one of the greatest jokes of all time. You know the joke?
No.
I entered a marathon last year. Got nuts all over my... That joke. You've not heard that one before?
No.
That's a good
one.
I was
a bit young for that when they switched the names, I think.
Okay.
Flipping out.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 0344 499 1000. So we're kind of, you know, kicking around the idea of just being kind. And not because it was the thing after Caroline Flack died of be kind. I think that puts a limit on the kindness because you can always be kinder. So we did a little part of the show yesterday and it went out as a 2:16 video yesterday. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to play it because I've not heard exactly what went out. I think I know the bit, but I just want to hear... I just want to hear exactly what I said, and then we'll read some of the replies. So this was yesterday's show, and this is the video that went out today. Here's my message to you, right? If you're at home listening to this or watching this, right? Very, very simple. Be kinder. Be kinder. Don't be kind, be kinder. When you say something, when you tweet something, when you just think, do I need to say this? Do I need to tell this actor or this TV host that what they're doing is rubbish and that they should never be allowed on the TV or the radio ever again? What good will that do? What good will it do belittling and mocking someone online, on Twitter, who's already said they've got issues with anxiety and depression and in the past have considered suicide? What good does that do? It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good. It gets some people angry and it gets some people shouting and it causes fear and it causes division. It doesn't help anybody. Hey, it might even make some people some money. It doesn't help anybody. Be kinder. And I know, right, I know that some people, if this clip goes out as a video, some people on Twitter will say some very, very rude things about me because I'm advocating being kinder. Here's my message to those people saying rude things about me in the mentions underneath this this tweet. I love you. I love you. I love you. I wish you nothing but happiness and success. And just think before you hit send on a rude message to someone who is just saying be kinder, before you hit send, what kind of person does that make you? Does that make you happy? If it's making you happy, be mean to someone who's saying be kinder, where are you in your life? What would your kids think? What would your mum think? Be kinder. Okay, so there we go. All right. So that went out.
Is that all it was?
That's all it was.
Because I saw some of the replies, and I thought you'd been asking for, like, their organs or their firstborn children or something.
So let's go through some of these. Alex says, I won't give out the full names, but this is all in the public domain. Be kinder, says the man, you was rude and aggressive towards Brexiteers. Well, I wasn't. He then posts a clip that supposedly backs up me being rude and aggressive towards Brexiteers. And Lewis chips in and says, well, that doesn't prove that. He calls out politicians who supported Brexit and then ran away from dealing with it. And also says, I voted Remain, but we voted Leave, and I sort of think we should do it. So that's Alex's argument. is gone. I was not rude and aggressive towards Brexiteers. Also, and actually the reason why I wanted to listen to that, because I didn't know if this bit was in there or not, in the longer chat, and there's no reason you would know in the longer chat, but I do say about, you know, there's a 10-minute spiel before that, I do say I've got it very, very wrong in the past, and I will get it wrong again, and I am I am trying to recognise when I get it wrong, but I have got it wrong a lot in the past, so I grass myself up. Loser says, the problem with Lee is that he can dish out the joshing, which is fine, but finds it hard to be on the receiving end. He quite rightly has a go at punter bigots. Punter bigots, isn't he a horse racer, a jockey? But still sucks up to his right-wing fellow broadcasters. He need the likes of wannabe Kay Boyle to back him up. He still sucks up to his right-wing fellow broadcasters. I don't know what that means, because I certainly haven't. I nearly lost my job before Christmas because I had upset a right-wing fellow broadcaster. So, OK.
Also, nice little side jab at me.
Yeah.
For no apparent reason.
Billy Bob's a Boomer says, talk radio's Pound Shop O'Brien, both unlistenable. I consider that a great compliment, because I think James O'Brien I think if he's not, he's getting very close to being a millionaire. and B, I think he's one of the best. Ian, you need to tell your fellow talk radio presenters this too. Julia, Eamon and Mike Graham are a couple that spring to mind. Well, the video's out there for everyone to see. Eamon doesn't work here anymore, but the video is out there for everyone else to see. Britain's best country in the world ever, and his avatar...
Oh, is that his name?
Yes.
Or was it just a statement?
His avatar is a picture of Windsor Davis, says, kind gets you nowhere, and then it's Foxtrot Oscar, and I think you're supposed to take the F and the O to F off.
Mm.
Right, okay, okay. Has he been taking lots of... Sugar Ray Scute says, has he been taking lots of Tabli again? T-A-B-L-E-E. I guess he means tablets, I guess. Mr. Miyagi has posted a GIF of Gordon Ramsay and it says, piss off.
Maybe that's him being kinder. You get someone else to say it.
Richie says, are we extending that to politicians, political commentators, etc., social commentators? If so, now Brexit is getting done, be it good or bad for us, a country, those people should stop commenting and accept it, or are some things excluded from that rule? Well, no, we're allowed to we're allowed to comment.
Also, being kind doesn't extend to people having to be quiet about their political views. Just don't call someone a D-head for disagreeing.
God's Gift says, calls me a sap.
Wow.
Martin, is this a thing? Because Martin's avatar is Windsor Davis. You lovely boy! Mm. Is this a thing? Like your attitude to Jim Davidson when he was paying respects to a deceased person. Typical hypocritical media. This is from something from, I think, maybe 2 years ago when... Was it when Jim Bowen... Someone died. And I was on Good Morning Britain. And yeah, I was wrong. That was wrong of me to go to read Jim Davidson's comment and then go, actually, I don't want to read that. He's a silly old racist. Or something, I said something like that. Yeah, that was wrong of me to do that. That was mean. That was mean. That was mean. I don't like Jim Davidson. I have a family member who was very upset when they worked with him once. But that was mean of me to do that, Martin. You're absolutely right. Finsbury says, oh, Christ almighty, here we go. The latest mantra. All I've said is be kinder, right? It's just be kinder. That's it. Oh, Christ almighty, here we go. The latest mantra from the woke virtue-signalling mobs. Be kind. How did so many British become such mawkish, moronic sheep?
Well, yeah, you'd crack on being mean then. You're right.
Michael says, and I don't understand this, and this has got a C-bomb in it.
Wow.
Unless you're a lefty who disagrees with someone on the right... then you are allowed to be as much of a...
He's saying, be kind, unless you're a lefty who disagrees with someone on the right.
Okay.
Then you're allowed to...
Unless you're a lefty who disagrees with someone on the right, then you are allowed to be as much of an SC to them as you would like, and also call for embarrassingly childish boycotts of products. I don't really understand that one. Then Mark says, Mark takes it into a very weird tangent. Be kinder to whom exactly? The anti-Semitic momentum supporters that have infested the Labour Party, the ones that have got it investigated by the EHRC. How does being kinder to them work? Huh? What? Is that a dig at me because I'm supposedly a Labour supporter?
No, I think it's just his favourite pet peeve.
Okay,
responding to something new, relevant.
We are allowed to be angry and upset with anti-Semites. I didn't know I had to say that in the clip. I know that.
Also,
now,
if someone tries to rob you or mug you, you are allowed to be a bit rude to them. This is really about emptying your spleen on Twitter to people that you don't know.
Adrian says, here's my message to you. Piss off, knobhead. it goes on. All I said was be kinder. It was nothing insulting in it. I wasn't... And the reference to sending mean tweets to people who said they were suicidal was specifically about Jameela Jamil. Although I have actually, you know, also expressed those things. I was listening back to that, it was a little bit vague. In my head, it was very clear that I was speaking about her specifically. But, all I did, and we'll put the two things together. Thank you, Alex. All I did was say, be kinder. That was it. It wasn't a controversial political statement. It wasn't all Brexiteers are this, or all Ramonas are this, or all black people are this, or all Tommy Robinson fans are this. It was nothing. How could you find anything divisive in the phrase be kinder?
Because feelings are scary to some people. Mm. And the fact that they reach for things like woke, virtue signalling, when actually what they're saying is someone who's trying to make me feel morally less than. And that's on them.
There's a story that's relevant today.
Also, that person that was saying Kay Boyle, don't want to be... I've been doing this for 20 years, so I'm all right.
Kay, she's not a Kay Boyle wannabe. She is the original Kay Boyle. You see the latest target on Twitter? Yorkshire Tea.
Oh, yeah. I saw it yesterday.
This is...
So someone independently...
It is the new Home Secretary. Yeah. And Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, takes a picture of himself with Yorkshire Tea. Then a load of people pile onto Yorkshire Tea as if they're like sponsoring him or something.
Saying to boycott Yorkshire Tea. Yeah, there were calls to boycott the brand on Friday after the Tory Chancellor shared the image. So it's him doing the budget and he's got a big bag of tea. He's going, time for a quick tea break. That's it.
Yeah. You know, and actually that's kind of in the tradition of Chancellors online, Chancellors, Home Secretaries, all these people online. It was Osborne, wasn't it, that had the posh burger?
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday, the curator of Yorkshire Tea's Twitter account, it's a tea brand's Twitter account. All they're doing is trying to sell tea, right? And Yorkshire Tea is a great cup of tea.
It's a nice tea.
It's a great cup of tea. PG Tips, I like all of the teas. Yorkshire Tea is a great cup of tea, right? And all their Twitter feed is selling tea, and I'm guessing probably doing a few funny tea puns, I would guess. Yesterday, the curator of Yorkshire Tea's Twitter account took to the social media platform again after a, quotes, rough weekend, end quotes, of angry comments. They said, for anyone about to vent their rage online, even to a company, please remember there's a human on the other end of it and try to be kind. And they were getting abuse. Can you find it?
Go
on, read some of them out. Read the ones out you can. We got calls waiting. We will come to them, I promise.
So this is the new Chancellor. So, like we said, you know, Osborne did it with a burger. Took a picture with a burger, is what I'm saying. Took a picture with a burger. And this new Chancellor is taking a picture with a cup of tea, which you would think would be quite...
Yeah.
You can't really do it with a burger anymore because the vegans get upset. So you probably thought he was playing it safe with a cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's Yorkshire Tea effed, ha ha ha. Well, I can't wait for 500,000 Labour Party members to boycott at Yorkshire Tea.
Yeah.
If you're the spokesperson for at Yorkshire Tea, then, with respect and no offence, you need to refine your PR skills. Well, that's the kiss of effing death to that brand now. At Yorkshire Tea, is that okay with you? If I was Yorkshire Tea, I'd be very worried about my support all being racist Brexiteers. Perhaps their Super Brit TV ad is responsible. Wow.
Wow.
Looks like buying Tetley Tea is back on. Shame on you, at Yorkshire Tea.
Shame on you.
Shame.
But they haven't done anything.
At Yorkshire Tea, you can tell a lot about our company by the people that endorse it. Parasitic hedge funds, downturned mouthface. At Yorkshire Tea, your brand is effed.
Oh, God.
At Yorkshire Tea, why are you promoting this fool no longer buying your products? Well, that's how it looks. So goodbye from me on Yorkshire Tea. And at Yorkshire Tea, that's me lost as a customer of yours. Never buying at Yorkshire Tea again.
It's incredible where we're at.
Do you know what it is? People think that they know what they're supposed to do when they see things like this now, so they yep. jump to it. And actually, yep. It doesn't apply in all circumstances.
Yeah. Okay, so a conservative was pictured with a bag of Yorkshire tea. So we're going to attack the tea.
Yeah.
We're going to attack the tea company because they are homophobic, racist, maybe, which is how some people perceive the Conservatives. I'm not saying they necessarily are. They are responsible for the problems that we have. It's Yorkshire tea.
Yeah.
Aren't
people funny?
This is the world we're living in right now. It's insane. We got some phone calls. 0344, one of them may be asleep, and the other one of them will possibly send us to sleep. I'll let you guess which is which. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. Late night with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. It's a phone-in show. We'll take, like, phone calls. We'll argue. I don't know. Just listen and see what happens.
Late night with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. We'll take calls straight to air for the rest of the show. Sit back, relax, Alex. We are becoming a sexually inactive nation with just a quarter of adults.
Are we still on this one?
Yeah, we haven't done, we didn't get to do anything because we're talking to that, the reporter, the American reporter. I can't remember his name. With a quarter of adults romping at least once a week, new stats have revealed. Unsurprisingly, the YouGov poll found those in their late 20s are the most likely to have regular bedroom action. But 38% of 35 to 39-year-olds said they had not had sex in the past 7 days, the highest of any age group. And the number of people giving up sex increases as they get older. This is the way it should be.
It's not your turn anymore.
Old people having it off. No, thank you.
What do you classify as old?
65 and above. Well, I mean, mature. When I type mature into a search engine...
Oh, my God.
Nowadays, it's like 35. And I'm thinking, you're kidding me? I've got to watch this.
Mature.
So you've got to type in, like, really old. Legit mature is like 35. It's not mature, it's not a MILF.
And they're stepmothers.
Yes. That's weird. Almost a fifth of 40 to 44-year-olds don't get any at all, says a newspaper. By 74, this figure jumps to 57%. Good. But if you're having a lean spell, there are ways to boost your confidence and time spent between the sheets. Sexpert Annabelle Knight has 10 top tips on how to make your tip top-tastic. Love list. This is one of my favourite thing. This is one of my favourite things.
Get the sexy music on. Come on, do this properly.
Okay, all right.
You know how we do this.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't want huffing and puffing.
Oh, come on. Please,
no.
Mum.
No.
Okay, all right. Jeez, that was loud. That wasn't huffing and puffing, was it?
No.
Okay. All right. Wait for this music to start. Okay. Love list.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's try this.
My God.
No. Ian.
Sorry, that was something I recorded on my phone a little bit earlier on. Oh, yes. Off of the internet. Okay, sexy. Let me type in sexy... horny
lovemaking music. Sexy, horny, lovemaking music.
Sexy and horny, that is quite a combo.
Well, I like to push things to the limit. Here we go. This is lovemaking music, romantic saxophone music, sensual mindset, background music, instrumental music. Here we
go. Background. Oh.
You're entering the pleasure zone. It's 20 past midnight on Thursday morning.
Red triangle's up.
I'm Ian Lee. You're entering my pleasure zone.
Not again.
Sit back, relax. Take your panties off. Pour yourself a glass of wine. And enter the pleasure zone.
So people are now padding into the kitchen like Winnie the Pooh to get a glass of wine. How sensual.
The love list. This is one of my favourite things to recommend to couples, as it can help you learn so much about your partner.
Oh, yeah.
Each of you will need a pen and a sheet of paper.
Oh, God, what are we doing with that?
I think you're sticking... Oh, no. Write down 5 things you would like to try together, then compare... We should do this.
I don't want to try anything.
Oh, okay, right, fine. Just a way to write it down and have a bit of fun. I'd like to try and do a good show with you one night, with you pulling your weight. Number one. Write down 5 things you would like to try together, then compare notes. If there are duplicates, that's wonderful, you do it. You're in. Just get in it and do it. If not, then you get to choose, you get to each choose 1 thing from your partner's list to try. Agree that there will be no judgment. What that means is when you look at list, you don't go, oh my God, you're joking, you dirty bugger, we're finished.
Yeah, but what if it's all outrageous filth? What if it's all your bottom line no?
And that you will both put in effort to whatever it is your partner desires. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone on Talk Radio, the home of Julia Hartley Brewer.
Gotta mention everyone else now.
Gotta mention everybody. But it's not an election. We'll vote for those losers. Rise and shine. Planning for sex might seem, well, unsexy.
Have we still got the pens out?
Pens are gone. Now okay. We don't need an alarm clock. But the reality is, we lead busy lives. And sometimes, the only way to get anything done is to set aside time. Just like your schedule, or workout, or hair appointment, put it in the diary.
Or on the calendar next to the kids' stuff.
Set your alarm clock for 30 minutes earlier than usual.
30 minutes?
Or both agree to meet at home during lunch. Couples that schedule sex build high levels of positive anticipation through their day. Throw a suggestive text into the mix as well.
Oh.
You're listening to The Pleasure Zone on Talk Radio, home of Mike Graham. Here we go. This is one I think I would be excellent at. You know? Dirty dancing. You're not taking this seriously. This is the reaction I would get if I did this. Treat your partner to a sexy striptease.
What are we doing that voice for?
Set the scene with dim lights, candles, and sensual music. If you're not into the idea of performing solo, make like Baby and Johnny in the movie Dirty Dancing and do it together. This is a fab way to begin sexy stimulation.
Wait. Who's going to do the lift?
Your body's moving in unison will strengthen intimacy levels. You're listening. What do we call this section?
The Pleasure Zone.
The what? The Pleasure Zone. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone on Talk Radio, the home of Andre Walker.
Yes, I haven't had one of those for a while.
Oh, no.
You haven't had one of those for a while.
Uncle Dre, don't bring him into this.
Scarf play.
Oh, no.
Pretty much all of us owns a scarf or a tie.
Or like a woolly one.
This is an easy and simple way to add a bit of kink in a fun and safe way. Use your scarf as a blindfold, wrist restraints, or incorporate it into a sexy striptease with a scarf. You got your dry on your bum.
That flossing move. I'm not putting that around my neck.
If you do decide to use it to tie and tease, it is very important you make sure you agree on a safe word. If it gets too much at any point, then your partner will know to stop. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone on Talk Radio, the home of Dan Wooten.
Which happens to be my safe word.
Wooten! I'm so sorry, I didn't hear you the first time. It's hard with this leather mask on, it blocks the ears.
Never think that's enough of me.
Oh, I was just getting warmed
up. Did we do the break? Oh, why don't we do the break? No, I think, cool down. Cool down, baby. Cool down, baby. If your safe word is the name of one of the presenters here at Talk Radio, give us a call. Let's have a bit of fun. 0344-499-1000. Catherine's is Wooten. Mine is Howard Hughes. It gets too dangerous.
The unexplained.
The unexplained. Do share your safe words with us, please. Call straight to air on 03444991000.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Dreamweaver.
Good evening to the both of you.
Guten Abend, mein Herr. Hast du Geschwister?
Sorry, missed that.
What can we do for you tonight, please?
I'm having the time of my life listening to your show tonight.
It's a good show. We do the best show.
If I go back, not last week, but possibly the week before.
Do you mean like to last Wednesday, or do you mean Tuesday, which is apparently the week before?
I'm going back to a time when you were discussing inner monologue.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And verbal internal narratives.
What a day to start trying to lose weight. Yes.
Do you remember?
No.
I do.
Kath does. This is nothing. I do not remember anything that happened on yesterday's show. So the chance of me remembering something that happened 2 weeks ago, zilch.
The inner monologue thing I remember because it was a story that I'd found. So, I remember my bits. I don't read his lines.
Oh, I switch off at Kath's bits. as do a lot of the listeners.
Are you real? Going back to those samples that you played, it was wonderful, wonderful. Anyway.
I don't have any samples. What are you talking about?
What are you up and on about? My name is Kath.
I've got some classics, Alex, that you, of course, you might... no, I haven't got as many. Hang on. Stay there. We've got Lady Alex working with us. Let's see if I can find... some classics that you that might ring a bell with you.
Okay, I'll say my name is Jester and I am a massive racist.
There you go, you see. I've still got some from around there. A lot of them are new ones like this.
Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy?
There they are. Go.
Horny.
It wasn't even good enough to be shit.
Okay.
I'm David Babcock and I got my willy stuck in a Hoover.
And of course the classic Paul McCartney.
Grab pussy.
I must have some more.
Any Vinny?
I haven't got any Vinny. I fell out with Vinny.
Dear.
Fell out with Vinny. He was very rude to me online, so I blocked him.
Naughty boy.
He's dead to me, that guy. I've got Vinny somewhere, but what's this?
You have a sexy bum.
Oh, Katia, please. Katia, you're spoiling. Katia.
Choc ice, man.
In your boot.
I haven't got choc ice. Oh, I'll tell you what I've got. You'll know this. You'll know this. They're all over the place. Hang on. Bear with me. Bear with me. Well, you say you know this. You might not know this. Where would it be? Where would it be? Where would it be? Stay with me. Stay with me. They're all over the place. Hang on a minute. This
I like mushy peas.
But I've got the original somewhere. It's now become a thing. And I've now got somewhere. I've got my...
Is that David Guest?
David Guest, but that's someone doing it. But now I've got my kid.
I like to mushy peas. I like to mushy peas.
There we go, you see. And somewhere we have David Guest.
I love my fags.
No, that's not it.
Banana.
No, hang on.
Banana.
Guess what Noel Taylor's talking about here?
Banana, coconut, mango, pomegranate, pear, plum, lemon, apple, hazelnuts, lime, almonds, and Brazil nuts.
Is that the thing he's going to grow on his planet made entirely out of human feces?
He's talking about trees. We do have this.
What do you think about stem cell research?
We do have a Vinny.
We don't want to go from a sleazy country to a sludgy country.
That was after your time, Lady Alex. Where is the original David Guest?
Any Knockers Fat Ferrari?
I haven't got Knockers Fat Ferrari. I mean, I've got them. They're somewhere. They're around, but they're not on this. No, that's not it. Okay. Dream. Oh, sorry, we had a call. I'm so sorry.
I was loving it.
Yes, man.
I take note of all of your samples.
Of course you do. All of my samples.
We're going back.
You're going back
to the abstract non-verbal thoughts.
Easy for you to say.
It's called inner voice, and I think a lot of your callers tonight suffer with this problem. It's part of dyslexia, and I deal with it, and I'm learning how. I spoke to one of your guest presenters, Jamie East, about it, and he was very interested. And actually, it doesn't. You go with your emotions, and it doesn't. Nothing stops you. There's no filter to stop you saying what you kind of feel. It's like there's over 50% of people in prisons at the moment which deal with this but don't know about it.
Hello, man.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
May we have a game of Thimmy Me Pants and Ting?
I would love a game of Simi in My Pants and Ting.
Yes, bruv. You know how it works.
Can you inform me?
Well, Ian plays Simi in Pants and Ting.
Aye.
And you have to guess whether it's
the speed.
Faster or lower.
Yeah. Man, I'm up for that.
I'm up for that too.
Cool.
So we just need the referee himself.
With the dials and ting.
See me in my pants and ting.
We're ready.
I'm completely ready, but I haven't got controls of see me in my pants and ting. Only Ian.
In my pants and ting. Yeah.
Yes, man.
Yeah, great tune.
So we've got to guess whether he's going to play it slower or faster.
Right.
Right. So
get him on.
When he plays it.
Come on.
We'll guess.
Here we go. Are we ready?
I'm completely ready.
Right. We're waiting for the man.
Yeah, the man doesn't seem up for it.
Grab pussy.
In my pants.
Well, we could play Grab Pussy. Maybe they could speed it up.
Grab
or
Pussy!
It.
What? Could we do it in a different voice, like?
What are you beefing on about?
What are you harping on about? You real? Huh? 40 years, man and boy, you know. 40 years,
man and boy. We could play 40 years, man and boy, faster or slower.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man. I don't know,
come
but
on,
I'm more used to guessing see me in my pants and ting.
Come on, that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, so am I, man.
I'm right every time.
What's your name, my friend?
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver, my name's Gavin. Nice to meet you, man.
Gavin, where are you, Gavin? I feel like I'm talking to you privately, and I'm not. I'm on the radio, possibly. I don't know.
I don't know, because I have exceptional radio etiquette, and I just turn my radio off.
So do I.
Well, maybe we're just out in the ether, and we're not going to even get a game of Simeon Pants and Ting.
Well, I'm at a monastery, so it's like, whoa, you know, it's you don't see anybody in their pants and Ting.
Do you see them in their robes and Ting?
You see them in their robes and Ting, and meditating, and meditating. And eating.
Meditating.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, see me in the ropes and thing.
Are you the guy that come up with this? Are you the guy that started this off?
No, not at all. No, not at all.
Okay.
No, there was, Ian, sampled somebody, that said, see me in my pants and thing, and he's got this, I imagine it's an app or something, that you can speed it up or slow it down, and the game of see me in my pants and thing is you have to guess whether it's going to be faster or slower.
It's a great game. It's a great game.
It's a beautiful game. And on the back of it, I bought the, Althea and Donna album.
Oh, album. Yes, I bought it about 6 years ago. Fantastic.
Oh, man, isn't it good?
It's real, man.
Really, really
it's
real. Good. Like reggae music. It's really, really cool. See, there was a really quick see me with pants hunting.
Hang on, that was him coming in.
I believe now, so.
Yes, possibly. Whether it's faster or slower.
Alright, well I'm going to say the next one will be, can he do faster? I'm going to say normal
speed. That was a challenge.
Yes, see me in pants and thing will be played at normal speed.
I think faster.
I think normal speed. Or none of the above.
Do we get another go? So that's you, a winner.
I said normal speed. What did you say, man?
I said higher than what it was because you challenged it.
Yeah, that's
couldn't get any higher.
It's usually the best of three. So I'm going to go higher.
I'm going to go lower than what he's just played.
All right. Let's see what happens.
You're a cocaine addict.
I'm nothing addict. I'm a monastery, mate. So
me boots and ting.
Oh, that's normal speed.
Normal. I don't know.
Yeah, that was normal speed. See me boots and ting.
Okay.
Yes, man.
It's difficult.
It's a very, very nuanced game.
Where are you, Gavin?
Where am I at? I'm in a beautiful place called Stancy Manfitchet.
Where? I don't know where that is, sorry. Yeah, I'm in.
You know where Stansted Airport is?
It's somewhere away from where I'm living in the countryside, yeah. Yes, near London, in London possibly, yeah. Right, we're up for another game. This is freaking me out, actually, because it's... Ooh! It's different, isn't it?
Hello, my name's Alistair. If I'm speaking to Dreamweaver and Gavin...
You're speaking to Dreamweaver? Hello.
Hi, Dreamweaver. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I'm really honoured to speak to you. I'm going to... You live near an abbey, don't you?
I recognise your voice. Yes, I do, Alistair.
Yeah.
Yes.
I live.
Because I'm going
not an abbey, but a monastery. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to a retreat in a couple of weeks. I'm going to an abbey because of my alcoholism.
Fair enough.
So, anyway.
What about, are you going to, my friend?
Do you know, Leicestershire, near Colville?
Oh, right, that's kind of, as far as I can remember, it's kind of, it's hilly.
Yeah, well, sort of.
Yeah, man.
Place.
No, well, good luck to you, Alistair, because I've heard you, especially last week with, Kath, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you, man, because what you did kind of got me together.
Because
I had my problems.
Yeah. And are you doing okay at the moment, Mum?
Me? Dreamweaver?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing okay, yes. I don't have any problems. I have depression. I deal with no inner monologue. No inner voice. I deal with autism and I deal with loneliness because I'm sort of away from people a lot of the time. Yeah, anyway, but it's all good. It's all good. And it's learning from that and learning what I need and what I don't need anymore.
Well, that sounds good. Anyway, all the best to you, mate. I've had a shit day.
Hello, Alistair.
Hello?
Alistair.
Susan?
Yeah, is that you, Alistair?
It is, yeah.
Can you give me some advice, darling? Could you give me some advice? Alistair?
Hello?
Hello, Alistair, could you give me some advice, darling? Alistair?
I give her some advice. I can give you some advice, Susan.
Is that Dreamweaver?
Cheers. Hello, Susan.
Hello, darling. I love your voice. You have a beautiful voice. Darling, I split up with somebody and I miss him. I miss him dreadfully. Can you tell me something? Tell me how I can get stronger and get him out of my head.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you can get yourself off to Chithurst in West Sussex, then I could probably help.
If I could get to West Sussex? Dreamweaver?
Dreamweaver?
You think...
Are you still there, brother?
What, Alistair, did Dreamweaver suggest I go to West Sussex?
Oh my goodness. Dreamweaver?
God, this is... It's great music in the background, by the way.
Yeah, it seems like we were talking that...
We were talking...
Oh, yeah. You've got a voice on you, man.
I got a voice. This is just, you know, the man Ian Lee has played some music before from the Beatles, which is not been able to be found again by me, but I had recorded it and I just played it for weeks and weeks and weeks and it just helped me out. It was like not a bootleg, but like just a recording. This is beautiful. I play the tambura, which is a droning instrument, which just drones on and on and on.
I've been listening to Mazzy Star today in recognition of David Roebuck's passing yesterday.
You know
Mazzy Star?
Yeah, absolutely I do. Yeah, wonderful, absolutely wonderful stuff. Just so peaceful as well, you know.
Very hippie-ish.
It is, isn't it? But it sort of grounds you, you know. I find it grounds you.
Just one of the favorite.
It took me to kick the drink. Just listening to mellow music and stuff.
Yeah.
And sort of centering yourself in meditation. And I know it sounds a little bit like, you know, drippy, hippie stuff, but it does
not,
work.
It does work because it doesn't distract. It doesn't distract you.
Listening to Pink Floyd, though, because it's all a bit too depressing.
Oh, No, there's only one Pink Floyd album worth listening to, and that's Piper's at the Gates of Dawn.
Oh, yeah, it was Sid.
Dreamweaver, I believe you can help me through the night.
I possibly could. That's the worst thing about being Dreamweaver, you know. Is yeah.
They basically kicked him out. Pink Floyd were dead to me. But then they I don't think they ever did see me in Pan San Ting.
No, that's Alfie Ran Donner, isn't it?
Maybe they did. They went on Radio 1 for a couple from there.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
£0344 499 1000 Kathy, owe me £50.
Well, now, hang on.
Yes.
Are they proper callers?
They are proper callers, in as much as one is a child and one is a homophobic bigot.
That you won't speak to.
That to me is content. That is content. Tell me why we should let you on, Ken.
Because I've got a very important topic to discuss.
Is it Jesus?
Yes. No.
Is it God?
No.
Is it the Jews or the Muslims?
It's to do with God,
right. Okay.
Yes, but it's not. I'm not going to preach the gospel to you. I'm going on to tell you what I believe in regard to this coronavirus.
Is it punishment for God because of the gays?
No. The reason I called was I heard you saying earlier it will kill us all off. This is not going to happen. This is not going to happen.
Ken, I was joking, yeah. Mate. It was a joke. Of course coronavirus isn't going to kill us all off.
Of course not.
No, exactly. It's a joke.
The panic that's taking place.
Ken, you're insane. There's no panic. There's no panic anywhere. People are being rightly cautious, as they should do. There's no panic. Where have you seen panic? Stop lying.
Well, there's certainly panic, Ian.
Where have you seen panic? Give me an example. One example of where you have seen panic around the coronavirus.
Right, there's been a sellout of face masks, and we have been told specifically.
There's been a sellout of face masks. How do you know? No, because you've said you've given an example, and we'll question it. Ken?
Let me finish.
No, Ken, because you're spreading fake news, and it's very, very dangerous. Okay, it's very, very dangerous. Where have they sold out face masks?
In many places, in many cities, have sold out.
Where?
I can't name the specific city.
Okay, so how do you know they've sold out of face masks?
It was recorded in the news.
Okay.
It's very difficult.
And here's the thing. If you spout bollocks, I'm going to question you on it. This isn't James's show where you phone in and I nip out, he nips out for 10 minutes to have a bite to eat. This is a show where if you say something, you will be questioned on it, Ken, all right? You're lucky I let you on. Nuke you in a minute. So, why does people buying face masks indicate that there's panic?
Because other very educated medical experts have warned us and told us the face mask is absolutely useless.
But why? Okay, I'll ask the question again. Why does people buying face masks indicate panic?
Because some people have been told that if you wear a face mask, it will protect you from the virus, and it will also protect others if you have the virus.
Okay.
That might be true.
I'll ask you the question, Ken, I'll ask you the question one more time, and I'd really appreciate it if you tried to answer it, okay?
I just answered you.
No, you haven't. How does...
All you want to do is argue.
No. All I want to do is get facts from a bigot. How does people buying face masks indicate there is panic and not just caution?
Caution is good.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
How does buying
anything?
Face masks indicate panic and not caution?
Say that again.
That's a tough one, isn't it, Ken? How does buying... Well, I've said it four times. How does buying face masks indicate panic... not caution?
Well, they've started buying face masks before they even arrived in certain specific...
Ken, if you're not going to answer the question, I'm going to let you go, mate. Thank you, because it's a really simple question. I don't want the history of face masks. I want to know how buying face masks indicates panic, not caution. Catherine? Answer the question! There's this knob.
I haven't bought a face mask.
There's this knob, and I'm going to say it once, right? Because I find it so funny. On Twitter, I blocked him ages ago. Pretends to be called Dorothy Williams. Used to love the show. Love the show. I'm giving... Hey, just start rubbing your thighs, because I'm giving you the attention from... Daddy is giving you the attention that you never had as a child, that you've wanted for so long. You've wanted it for so long. You're getting it for this, for one night only, right? They used to love the show.
They tweet James now, don't they?
I don't know, because I blocked them. And once I blocked them, they got very upset and started slagging the show off.
Uh-huh.
Then last week, when I said be kinder, they started tweeting and going, you know what, you're right, I'm going to be more supportive of the show and I'm going to be kinder. And for 2 days they were, then they've just started slagging off again. I can block you so I don't see you on the screen, you silly sausage. There you go, you got your mention on the radio. Well done. Sharan.
Hi Ian, how are you?
I'm angry. What have you got?
I saw this thing on the internet that China, instead of actually finding a cure, they were trying to get this game off the App Store because it's basically called Gink. It's where you create your own virus and try to...
So China stopped all of the doctors and all of the scientists and everybody working on a cure. They stopped them and said, guys, I won't do the accent, guys, you've got to stop working on that cure. We need to get a program off the App Store. That's what happened, yeah?
I'm not sure about the doctor part, but basically...
Well, you
yeah,
just said, with
the
respect...
The App Store. I'm not sure.
With respect, you just said that China stopped working on a cure to get an app off of the App Store.
Didn't I say instead of trying to direct...
They can do both. They can do both.
But shouldn't they be directing most of their time to trying to find a cure and not getting a game off the App Store?
You know, there are quite a lot of Chinese people. I think there's enough to sort this out.
Still, I find that quite weird.
But do you?
But why do you find it weird? Here's the thing, right? We've got three people working on this show, right? One person is taking the phone calls. One person, me, is operating the faders, and one person is being an idiot. I don't know what she's doing, actually, if I'm completely honest. Do you think we should all be working on taking the phone calls, or we should all be working on being an idiot, or we should... No, we can all do different things, and you still get the one whole.
Yeah, but you've already worked out a way that everything works. They still haven't worked out a cure
that
works.
So we need to get all 1.7 billion Chinese to stop whatever they're doing...
The qualified Chinese.
But they won't be the same qualified Chinese, Sharan. You're talking about scientists and chemists and biologists who would have nothing to do with sorting out an app.
Still, it would...
No.
Stop reaching,
because it's not...
Why would the app people be the same as the virus cure people? They might be in the same building. They might be in the same building, but probably a different floor.
Like computer viruses, is that why? I'm seeing the link now.
No, as in, like, in the game, you make your own virus.
Right. I'm going to make a virus in a minute, and it's called a nuclear bomb, and it's going to land on your house.
Nice.
You're very welcome. Let's go to George. My God. My God.
Your God. It's been a rotten day for me.
How did your hernia go? They cancelled it.
Yeah,
I told them to.
Well, it wasn't cancelled. I've got to go test to see if I can have an anaesthetic and that sort.
Because they don't like giving it to old boring men.
That's the impression I got.
Yeah.
But I was really looking forward to it.
Ah.
I went early. It was snowing. I got a taxi and
to the NHS. Let's nuke the NHS. I will do that.
And it didn't happen. So then I was going to get a taxi home, but instead I went into Muswell Hill and drew £50 out of my bank account and went into the betting shop and put a few bets on, bought some food, and then got on the bus. And my freedom pass was gone, and somehow my bank...
All of God's children got to have their freedom.
No, my bank cards and everything got stolen, and the rest of the money in my account got withdrawn, and it was horrible. And third time that's happened to me in the last year, that money's been stolen out of my account, and I don't know how they did it. It must have been someone in the bank, because I went into the bank to draw the money out.
You sure it's nothing to do with the betting shop?
No.
It's got to be the bank then, yeah.
No, it's a mystery, but it's...
I'm sorry, how much money did they get?
250 quid.
Scumbags.
And a few months ago, it was 300 quid. And
well, how does it keep happening to you?
Yeah, no, it's the third time it's happened.
Well, how does it keep happening to you?
I don't know.
Have you've not written your PIN number on the back of the card, have you?
No.
Well, how do they do it then?
I've got no idea. Very clever people, obviously.
Sean's enjoying the show. Thank you for the tweet, Sean. Glad you're enjoying the show, buddy. Keep coming back.
But I've made a wonderful prophecy today.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Is the prophecy that you're going to get robbed again in a few weeks?
No, but I do owe you 2,020 quid. I intend to pay that.
He's admitting defeat!
Well, yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't happen!
You didn't do anything.
I would have hoped you would have helped me.
No.
We didn't do anything. Right, I get it. It's our fault.
No, it wasn't meant to be. But the song will be out there on the 14th of April, which will be the official launch at last of the party to end all political.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking, George. I'm not going to take any more phone calls tonight.
Why is that?
I'm just bored as hell. And if I'm bored, imagine how bored the listeners must be.
Yeah, but this prophecy that I was circulating today says a first for you. And John's Gospel, chapter 16.
Oh, God, I'm losing the will to live, Mummy.
No, come on, this is good. No.
It won't be.
It is. It
won't be.
Trust me.
Does that fader work?
It won't. Here's the thing, right? Here's what I know, George.
Yeah.
It won't be good.
It is. It's only a short prophecy. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit...
Here's the thing. The whole show, the future of tonight's show depends on this prophecy. If it's good, c'est la vie. We carry on. If it's bad...
C'est fini.
We stop. All right? C'est vrai ou faux? If it's good, c'est la vie. If it's bad, what is it?
C'est fini.
All right, George.
Yeah. But
the pressure's on you, buddy.
John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit of Truth. Though at this moment in fated time, he doesn't know it, American Jewish mystic, author of a number of interesting books, Jonathan Kahn.
It's looking very.
Is this in the Bible, this
bit?
It's
looking very Say Finney at the moment.
Which part of this is in the Bible?
And Gatford, if it's Say Finney, you don't get on.
What? Oh.
Yeah. line these people that are calling up, but do warn them, Sam, if it's safe and E, then they don't get on. We don't have any calls for the rest of the night. I'm prepared to do that. George.
Author of a number of interesting books is hereby written to play that dreamy role. What do you think?
Let's get to the interesting prediction that you mentioned.
No, it is interesting.
Safe in E.
Jonathan
Kahn. Safe in E. Safe in E. The show is Safe in E. There's no more calls tonight because of you.
UJC.
UJC? There's no more. Gatford, can't take your call, mate.
Oh, fair enough, yes.
Yeah, we got, okay, accepted it. This is a. Eduardo, I'm afraid I can't take your call, mate. It's Safe in E.
But I want to talk about.
No, you can't. It's George. Eduardo, it's George's fault that there are no more calls. Talk to him.
Is he still there? George?
Yes.
Haven't you given this gig up yet, mate?
No, it's been a gig that's lasted worse since.
Well, I know. I've had to listen to it since I was a child. No offence and all that. I'm sure you're a lovely fella, but come on. Move over and let Gary from Catford take over.
Take over what?
Your role. I feel like I'm talking to Radio Royalty here. I should be more respectful.
Bow down.
Terrible. Are you there, Gary? Yeah. Oh, go away. Hello.
Ian says.
I feel like I'm in a time loop with George. Like I've heard this like 10 times.
You've never heard it.
Well, you sound a bit like I have, Gary. You sound a bit Mockney. Is that Mockney like that fella that does films that used to date Madonna? All of that Guy Ritchie type stuff. Yeah, that's the fella. Oh, yeah, him. Lockstock and all that. And you're from south of the river, which isn't really even London. Well, yeah. Not anymore, though. You haven't even got a proper football team. I've moved to Kent and everything. Well, that's even worse. I'd be worried that I'd upset the whole of Kent with one sentence. So, is he still going, George? Is it Chatham where you moved to? No, that's not Chatham. Is it one of the Medway towns?
I'm done. There's no more calls. No calls tonight. I'm done.
Safe in E.
Line one, no calls tonight, please.
I'm sorry, greetings and salutations, but it's Safe in E. It's for me.
But then put the phone down.
I know, I've broken the rules.
Well, put the phone down then, it's Safe in E.
I know!
Well, then put the phone down! It's St. Catherine! It's St. Finney! He won't put the phone down!
You know what Finney means?
I won't!
Well, then I'll cut you off!
Really? I'm going to make a prophecy.
There we go. St. Finney, I don't want any phone calls tonight. They killed it.
Well, he killed it.
Every call that we had tonight killed it. Every call was a dud. Every call. Last night, every call was a winner. Tonight, first 30 minutes. What do we have? 8, 9, 10 calls? Every one of those was a dud. 10 calls. That makes 20 calls an hour. Times 3. That's 80. We would have had 80 dud calls. No. I'm up for an award next week. I'm up for 2 awards next week. And I'm very kindly bringing you along.
And we're not having you lot ruining it.
Exactly. I'm an award-winning and an award-nominated, double award. I'm a quadruple award-winning, double award-nominated radio host. And you guys don't deserve me. Frankly, you don't deserve me. This station doesn't deserve me. Denny doesn't deserve me. Liam doesn't deserve me. The callers don't deserve me. So you know what, callers? You ain't getting me. You are not getting me tonight. I will not give you tonight.
What's this voice?
Only one thing could change my mind.
Yeah.
One thing. if Sean calls up and apologises for swearing and belittling and being rude to the young person that took the phone call last week where he effed and jeffed. Didn't come on the air, effed and jeffed. He denied it. We know it happened. If he calls up and apologises, what does it say, Ray? So was it say Finney and...
What did you say?
Can't remember. Say Ray.
Say no, Ray. Wasn't say Ray.
Say la vie.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. If he phones up and apologises, c'est la vie. If he doesn't, c'est fini.
C'est totalement fini. Yeah.
Listen, I'm only calling in because I've had a really shit day.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you have. I'm glad you have. Are you going to save the future of the show by apologising, for swearing to the young woman that was answering the phones and then lying to me yesterday?
What, for the third time?
You haven't done it yet.
Anyway, listen, man, listen.
No, I will not listen, man, listen. The future of tonight's show depends on you. We will have no calls, and I'm so fine with that. But we will have calls if you apologise for the way you spoke to the producer of the show last week.
Late, I've just got back from some meetings.
Oh my God, you've never been to a meeting. Stephen, we're not taking calls tonight, say Finney.
Oh, come on.
It's Sean's fault, say Finney.
What, did you talk Finney. About it tonight, yes or no?
Finney.
All right, I'm going. Bye-bye. Night-night.
Right, he didn't apologise. No, hang on. Sean is still there and Stephen's gone. Hello? Did Sean apologise?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Of course he didn't. He thinks he has three times. I didn't hear it once.
Sean, tell me the truth. You did not go to Italy last week, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Liar. You phoned up the show on Friday and you were rude to the
young
person.
Why are you so bothered about it? Let me tell you something.
I'll tell you what I'm bothered about. I'm bothered about big men. Big men who think it's okay to phone up people and swear at them and then lie about it.
Can I also express an opinion? This technique that Sean's got of bulldozing, no, you listen to me, yet you listen to me, standard, but it doesn't work on this show. So let's have a conversation and maybe we can resolve this.
It's so easy, Sean.
We've all
boy.
Got you. Bye-bye.
Sorry, where's he gone? I didn't hear any of that. His fader was down.
He was trying to steamroll to a silent
right. Say Finney.
Fader.
Say Finney. I don't want to talk to any of them tonight. They don't deserve this. Yeah. No calls.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Russ.
Hello, mate. How are you? Silly question.
What you got?
It's just one of those things.
Isn't it? It's just one of those silly little quirks that we say, and no one's really, no one cares. What have you got for us, Russ?
I just want to ask you a personal question.
Please do.
Do you drive?
Slowly. No, yes, I drive.
Okay. Does Kath drive?
I don't know. Do you know what? I've never asked her. Catherine, do you drive?
Yeah.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Prove it.
I did. I drove here.
Okay. Fair, but I can't argue with that, Russ. Why? Do you want to race?
No. I've had one of those moments of calmness myself today. I'm a driver.
Yeah.
I have been all my professional life. And I'm quite well qualified as a driver, if I say so myself. I won't go into the ins and outs of it, but I've got a diploma, level 4 diploma in a certain type of driving. I've also got quite a lot of experience from being shot at with United Nations trucks in Bosnia.
Wow.
Well, actually, it wasn't my truck. It was a friend, colleague. He's a crane driver now. He was a crane instructor. He's been doing that since he left the army. He had 5 rounds into his truck, which was the one in front of me. And it was right behind. But that's a complete... I digress. It's got nothing to do. I'm just trying to...
Of all the digressions, though, getting shot at in Bosnia, that's a pretty amazing digression. I will allow that, definitely.
Wow. I've had quite a wacky...
When you night, say so got I, shot at...
Yeah.
I mean, how close were the bullets? I hope that's not an insensitive question.
Well, if you imagine you're in the centre of a clock dial, so straight ahead is 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was coming from below 7 o'clock. It was coming from behind me to the left slightly. We had just come out from mountains into Vitez, and as we came into the town of Vitez, if you can imagine, you've got some hills and mountains and stuff behind you. That's to our left-hand side as we arrive at the point where we stopped. It's not easy not swearing. I've got to pretend I'm talking to my daughter.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, surely the only response is, effing hell, we're being shot at.
Well, no, it's where's that coming from? Because you need to understand where the threat's coming from, because right. And also what they're aiming at, what it is they're looking for. It's usually at the front of the convoy to stop the convoy, or if they don't want to stop the convoy, it depends what they want to do. So where the rounds are coming from is one source of info. When the rounds are going to is another source of info, because you can also imagine where their signs of cover, areas of cover would be. So if you wanted to return fire, it wouldn't necessarily go for the sniper. You would go to where the cover is that you can't see, where you expect it to be.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, obviously, Russ, I know all this, but thank you for explaining it to Catherine, because my military training is well, I don't like to talk about it on air, but my military training is
Are you kidding me?
Is higher than SAS.
You know, I've been in Hereford.
Yeah, I know you've been in Hereford. I've been.
I've been.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.